Chapter 2. Community. Summary. Matt takes Peter to a safer place, but the evening takes an unexpected turn. Matt led the way out of the bathroom and the bar, weaving effortlessly through the crowd. They left the bar and rounded a corner before Matt slowed down, waiting for Peter to catch up.
I'd like to show you my favorite bar. It's a little hidden to keep everyone just trying to cause trouble from finding it, but it's worth it. Are you feeling okay? Your heart rate is still a little fast, and I can't tell if that's from nervousness or not.
I'm okay, I think.
Peter stammered. His mind was running at double speed, trying to understand everything that was happening.
Hey. Okay, I'm going way too fast for you right now, aren't I?
Matt asked, resting a hand on Peter's arm calmingly. Peter could just nod, but Matt nodded back, then continued after taking a deep breath.
Okay, I'm Matt Murdock. I'm a lawyer in Hell's Kitchen. I promise I won't hurt you or do anything sketchy.
He fiddled with his cane for a moment.
Okay, except asking for you to undress in a pub bathroom. But I usually don't do that either.
Yeah?
Peter asked skeptically, and Matt had to laugh.
That is how I got together with my boyfriend, so...
He made an either-or kind of gesture, and Peter had to join in his laughter.
But honestly, I didn't mean to spring you like that. But when I noticed your breathing get cut off, I knew you would pass out soon.
They turned a corner, and Matt stopped at a pedestrian crossing. For a moment, he held his head cocked before asking,
Is the light broken again?
Yeah.
Peter was confused about how he knew.
That's the third time this month. I really need to write that letter.
Matt murmured to himself while listening to the traffic for a moment longer before crossing.
So, I was planning to talk to you normally, buy you a drink, and then ask you if you wanted to join me at a nice bar. But before I could get the chance, everything had to go quickly.
And can you really hear my heartbeat?
Yes. That and many other things. Like how the woman at the corner booth were talking about you being an easy opportunity, or how the owner told the bartender to charge you extra.
Matt stopped in front of an unassuming door in an alley.
All right. Here we are, one of the safest places to get drunk in all of New York City. In multiple ways.
Matt opened the door and let Peter enter the bar. On first glance, it looked no different than any other bar in the city, but the longer Peter looked, the more he knew what Matt was talking about. The walls and bar were decorated with pride flags, and many people around them were wearing jewelry and trinkets with pride colors too. Between casually dressed people and businessmen and women in their suits, Peter could also spot a few people dressed in more extravagant outfits that showed longer stretches of skin and beautiful tattoos. It was nothing like anything Peter had ever seen, but somehow, he instantly felt at home. Chuckling slightly, Matt headed Peter to a free table by a wall, picking up a beer at the bar with a friendly nod to the bartender.
If the bar is so shitty, what were you doing there anyway?
Peter asked when he remembered they had been in the middle of a conversation.
I was working on a case at first, but the last few days, I noticed you come in worse shape every night.
So you were stalking me?
No, God no. But I couldn't risk you coming in again today, tomorrow, or in a week, and no one trustworthy being there when the inevitable happens. So I came in and I kept an eye on you.
Behind Peter, someone was chuckling dirtily, and Peter couldn't help but throw him an annoyed glance.
Do you mind?
What?
The man asked as if he hadn't heard Peter.
Hey, Clint, stop bugging the new kid.
Matt addressed the blonde, gesturing quickly in what Peter could only assume was sign language.
Peter? This is Clint.
Clint?
Peter asked, turning again to look over the man once more. He was dressed in distressed jeans and a white crop top with a purple print that looked like he had cut it at home. The shaggy hair falling onto his face made him hard to place, but Peter recognized him anyway.
Clint Barton? Like in Hawkeye?
Yes, like in Hawkeye.
Clint agreed, walking up to their table.
He's deaf and very nosy. He can read lips, but that's not always super reliable. Oh, and he's like us. Well, more like you than like me, if you get what I mean.
Matt continued. Peter nodded slowly, taking in the vast amount of information Matt had managed to put into so few sentences again.
Oh, you're like us? That's why you're wearing Matt's shirt?
Clint asked, taking a seat a little too close to Matt.
You noticed that, but not that I'm trans.
Peter asked. He made sure to face Clint, but from the corner of his eye, he also noted Matt interpreting.
Well, I gave it to him, so yeah, I notice when he comes in with a stranger wearing it. But the other thing?
Clint shrugged.
You know, most people don't look for that in strangers. Just because something feels obvious, that doesn't mean it is. And the same is true the other way around. To me, the shirt was obvious because I was looking for it.
Flynn casually took Matt's beer, but before he could drink from it, the blind man snatched it back with another display of the surprising accuracy that Peter had noticed all evening. Matt signed something at Flynn before emptying the bottle himself and pressing it into the other's hand. With an annoyed expression, Clint went over to the bar and came back with 3 fresh bottles a moment later.
So where did Matty pick you up from?
Clint asked, after taking the seat next to Matt again and handing Peter one of the bottles.
He's the one I told you about. And like I predicted, he did collapse.
Matt told Clint with a smug smile on his face.
How good the devil was there to save him.
Clint answered dryly, barely managing not to laugh at his own joke.
Shush. I haven't gotten that far yet. Everything went a bit chaotic.
Peter didn't like how the other two talked about him as if he weren't there.
You know I can hear you, right?
Yeah, Matt is not good at understanding signs, what with the whole being blind thing.
Flint dismissed him with a wave of his hand before turning around and calling out,
Hey, Bucky, do you have a second?
Smirking a little to himself, Clint turned around before Bucky could answer, giving them no other option but to come anyway.
What, Clint, I? Is that busy?
Matt tried to interpret.
Well, it wasn't movie.
Clint answered sarcastically, making 2 signs that looked pretty much the same to Peter.
You gotta catch the context clues when you can't get the signs.
His eyes annoyedly, Matt started signing way too quickly for Peter to catch anything, but his facial expression told him that he didn't want to be involved in it.
Don't worry about them. They can be a lot.
Bucky turned to Peter and wiped their mustache hands onto a towel.
Hey, I'm Bucky.
Bucky, as in the Winter Soldier!
Peter blotted it out before he could stop himself.
I was. Now I'm just Bucky.
They twitched a little with the urge to hide their metal arm.
So, this is your first time in a queer bar?
Bucky made an obvious attempt to change the topic.
Yeah.
Peter sat down at his bottle, realizing he had started to peel off the label.
Don't worry. I know this can all be very overwhelming. But everyone here has been at that point, so they're all very understanding.
Bucky looked around the bar for a moment.
Do you want me to introduce you to a few people? Or do you just want to stay in the shadows for a while?
No, I think I just want to sit for a bit.
Peter looked over at the 2 men next to them, still arguing, signing against each other's hands instead of in the air between them. He was intrigued by what they were doing, but he didn't want to get in the middle of a fight.
Do you want to tell me something about you first?
Bucky pulled up a chair next to Peter, whatever they were doing before seemingly forgotten. The young man took another sip of beer, then started.
I'm Peter Parker. I'm a freelance photographer and university student.
He looked at Bucky for a moment, but realized the other probably knew already anyway.
And I'm trans.
What are your pronouns, Peter?
Bucky asked, offering a reassuring smile.
He, him.
Peter answered, feeling warmth bubble in his chest.
And yours?
They, them is usually a safe choice, but sometimes I prefer others. I'm non-binary and gender fluid.
They looked at the table neighbors for a moment before waving a hand between them, signing and saying,
Oh, shut it already. You're acting like children.
Sorry.
Both men murmured with red faces before joining in the conversation.
You're a photographer, you said?
Matt asked.
That sounds like an interesting job.
This time, Bucky was interpreting and also relying what Peter had told him before. Then looked into the round, blanking slightly confused.
Wait, so are you going to tell me that I'm the only one who chose a normal person's name instead of some weird alliteration?
Your name is Clinton.
Matt answered, seemingly more offended by that than by being criticized for his chosen name.
That's a perfectly normal name. So what's your point?
Clinton.
Matt said again, finger spelling the name this time.
That's all the point I need.
Yeah? Matthew Michael Murdoch, is it?
Hey, if you don't stop arguing, I'll cut you both off. For the rest of the week.
Bucky threatened, shutting both men up immediately.
I like your names.
Peter admitted quietly.
Don't listen to them, Pete. Arguing is how they show their love sometimes. It can be annoying, but in the end, they are the biggest lovebirds of them all. So, you're a photographer?
Wait. Peter Parker, the photographer. You're the guy who gets all those pictures of Spider-Man. God, I wish I had my own paparazzi sometimes.
Maybe you're not photogenic enough.
Matt mused while Bucky added,
There are a bunch of pictures of your missions out there.
Of missions, yeah, but never good ones of me. And I am very photogenic, thank you very much. By the way, I haven't seen any pictures of you, devil.
Shut it!
Matt explained indignantly, kicking Clint under the table.
Devil?
Peter asked Bucky with a confused look, remembering something earlier in the evening.
Wait, devil of Hell's Kitchen? That can't...
Thank you. So much for being a super spy.
Matt murmured before looking vaguely in Peter's direction.
Yes, I am the Devil of Hell's Kitchen, or Daredevil. Yes, I am really blind. My other senses are extremely sensitive, and I can almost use sound and air currents like echolocation. Yes, I am also a lawyer.
He signed for Clint, then cocked his head.
That all?
No, he can't say how he fits vigilantism, Catholicism, and the law into one. That's just a paradox he lives with.
Is everyone here a superhero?
Peter asked, looking around the room more closely.
Not everyone here is a superhero, but pretty much every superhero I know comes here at least once in a while.
Clint answered.
So, are all of them...
This time, Bucky was the one to speak.
Most of them are queer, and the few that aren't are allies, or in a relationship with someone who is queer. And yeah, there are very few heroes I have not seen here at least once. Well, except for Carol and the Guardians. But they are always in a rush to the other side of the galaxy again.
And Spider-Man hasn't swung by yet, but Tony said he wouldn't be surprised if he isn't even old enough yet.
Clint added casually. Peter, who had just taken a long sip of his beer, choked and barely managed not to spit it all over Clint and the table.
You're good?
Matt asked while Bucky clapped him on the back, and Peter could feel the other two's eyes on him even without looking up.
Yeah, I'm fine.
He croaked, not even sounding convincing to his own ears.
You know something we don't?
Clint asked, intrigue and excitement clear in his voice.
No, I just take the pictures. I don't actually know much about Spidey.
Peter answered hastily.
You know, I'm basically a human lie detector, right?
Matt asked, his voice teasing.
Wow, that's so cool. That must be very useful in court.
Peter tried to change the conversation, but the other two didn't take the bait.
Yeah, it is. But it's more useful for my other life, actually. You know, interrogating criminals, finding secret identities, etc.
And you know...
Clint started, but Bucky cut him off with a raised hand and a stern look.
Stop it, guys.
Bucky addressed the two vigilantes, saying...
Matt, not even 5 minutes ago, you were doing everything to keep your own identity safe. And Clint, just because Nat made all of our identities and deep dark secrets public when she uploaded S.H.I.E.L.D.'s files, doesn't give you the right to interrogate everyone else who might or might not be a hero or vigilante. When Peter has anything he wants to tell us, he will. If not, then it's not your place to make him. That applies to coming out as well as to secret identities, and every other secret. If you can't follow that rule, I'll have to ask you to leave.
Clint and Matt started apologizing and talking over each other, and Peter slumped together in his chair even more than he had already.
No, it's fine. I mean, they're not wrong.
He told Bucky.
It's not. And no matter if they guess correctly or whatever, it's not their place to decide when you are ready to talk about it.
They explained, and Peter nodded.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense.
He agreed. Bucky had turned back to Clint and Matt, who were still rambling without making much sense.
Seriously, guys, how much did you have to drink today?
It's not the alcohol, though they should probably stop drinking anyway.
A weirdly familiar voice spoke behind Peter, and when he turned around to see who it was, he choked on his beer again.
They worked on a case and were hit with an unknown chemical. We decontaminated everyone, but apparently that wasn't enough. Bruce says it's not dangerous, but they will show signs of intoxication for a while.
Captain America explained, hugging Bucky quickly instead of a verbal greeting.
I've been looking for them everywhere. I could have guessed they'd end up here.
So you got the two biggest human disasters on the team intoxicated and managed to lose them.
Bucky threw Steve Rogers an annoyed glance while patting Peter on the back again.
Matt's not technically on the team.
Clint informed them unhelpfully and received even more annoyed glances for it.
I left them alone for 2 minutes and they were gone. Not even Tony or Ned could find them.
Steve explained, and Bucky just sighed.
I'm taking them back to the tower. Bruce says he found something that should reduce the effects. And even if it doesn't work, it's safer for them to be under supervision.
He walked around the table to stand between the two vigilantes. In that position, he was opposite Peter and seemed to notice him for the first time.
Oh, this is Peter. Matt picked him up in a sketchy bar and convinced him to come here. That was before he was quite so drunk.
Bucky explained.
Hey!
Peter's voice cracked from excitement and he considered how much he should say.
I'm Spider-Man.
It was very unlikely that he could keep his identity secret from the Evanders much longer when he planned to come here more often, even when everyone adhered to Bucky's rules. It was apparently Steve's turn to be speechless.
Okay, welcome to the team.
He looked between Bucky, Peter, Matt, and Clint for a moment before he caught himself again.
Look, I'd love to get to know you, but I should really get these two back to the tower. Bucky can give you my information, and then we can meet sometime when I'm off duty, if you'd like.
Peter nodded a little too quickly, but if they noticed his excitement, the two super soldiers didn't comment on it. After Steve had convinced Daredevil and Hawkeye to come back to the tower with him, Bucky sat back down at the table with Peter.
Okay, that was a lot for your first time here. It's not usually this chaotic, but it does happen sometimes. That's just something we can't completely avoid with so many heroes and vigilantes in one spot. How about I get you another beer and show you around a little? And maybe I have something for your outfit malfunction problem, too.
They nodded vaguely at Clint's shirt, which Matt had given Peter. Peter agreed, and Bucky showed him around the gnome, almost quiet bar. There was a small group of people sitting in a booth, and in one corner an older couple was playing chess, but most guests had already left. After the bar, Bucky introduced Peter to Luke, one of the bartenders. They chatted for a little while, and when Peter had finished his drink, Bucky took him to the back room.
We have a pretty active community, not just of superheroes, but of normal civilians, too. A lot of people donate whenever they can, so we can help queer folks who maybe can't always afford or safely get what they need. We have all kinds of things, including various gender-affirming products.
Bucky looked over the shelves for a moment before pulling out two boxes.
Do you know your size?
After a little bit of trial and error, they found two binders that fit Peter and allowed him to feel confident in his body without too much risk of hurting himself.
Please listen to your body. Don't wear the binder for more than 8 hours at a time. Take breaks, and I mean not just a few hours, but at least a day or two a week. And please, be extremely careful with binding while exercising and superheroing. Your body is not made to be restricted like that, and you are much more likely to hurt your ribs. Talk to people with more experience than you and learn from their mistakes. And if you need anything, don't hesitate to call me or come here. We can't help with everything, but we have a lot of contacts, including safe places to stay and safe doctors, both for trans folks and for people with secret identities.
Thank you so much. I don't know how I can ever thank you enough for this.
Peter buttoned the purple shirt over the tan binder they had picked, and when he caught a glance at himself in the small mirror behind the door, he couldn't help but smile.
I really couldn't afford a binder on my own.
Don't worry about it. As long as you're safe, it fulfills its purpose, and you can give something back when you get a chance.
Bucky smiled, handing Peter his hoodie back. Together, they went back into the main room of the bar, and after Bucky had given Peter their and Steve's information, Peter said goodbye to the two bartenders and went home, tired and overwhelmed, but so happy.